We're ready, God. Let's open. I just want to open with some words from Psalm 78. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Lord, we want to be a people that are not stubborn and a people that trusts in you and new this year. Lord, tonight we want to dwell on the things of you, to hear stories that tell of your power and greatness, your gentleness and grace to us. Lord, thank you for who you are. Help us to trust you more. Amen. Let's open in worship. I neglected to just introduce you to the evening and telling you what we're about this evening, but some of you were there this morning, lots of you were there this morning. So know already that tonight is going to be an open mic. So Jean-Pierre's going to lead us later in that time of just having that opportunity to bring testimony of what God's doing and saying in your life, and bringing that to the church here. So it's a great opportunity and very exciting. Whoops, sorry about that. Turn my phone sound off. Don't really need that. So we've got that wonderful opportunity, so be expectant to hear great things of God and to bring great things of God. If you haven't come with anything prepared, we are also going to have a time now of reflection where we are going to be listening to God. Now, prepared for us to do that before the wonderful service this morning, we had an opportunity to do just that. And to really, as Pete led us, think about those four things and ask God to speak to us individually. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to do that for the church. So we're going to take some time to listen to God. I'm going to just lead you, like Pete did this morning, in four questions. We're going to wait on God, and I'd like you to write things down as they come to mind. Now, I know when we have times like this, it can be difficult if you don't hear anything. But as Pete encouraged us this morning, I just want us to be really open to the different ways that God can speak to us. I'm pretty sure it was Pete who said about that he can speak to us through other people. So it may be that he calls to mind a conversation you've had with someone or a communication. One thought that came about an unusual way God communicated with me once was actually on the telephone. I would say I've never heard the audible voice of God. I am so blessed. I love the way God speaks to me through pictures, but I've never heard God speak except through the voice of my friend on the phone. I won't go into the detail. There's a big story behind it. But when my friend rang and said, "Will you come on this church weekend away?" It was God. He knew exactly what what else I was planning to do, and he called me to that church weekend. That was a pivotal time. So he used a person. You know, there's an example. So let's be really open tonight to how he might speak, whether it's could be a verse in the Bible, could be a thought that comes to mind, could be something you've been thinking about for a long time, and it just comes back to mind tonight. I don't want to go on about a list of ways he can speak to us, because he's God, and we just want to be open. So I'm going to just pray, and then we're going to have another hymn of praise, which just calls us to look to God to be our vision. And then I'm going to lead us through those very things we asked this morning for ourselves, for our church. And so we're going to be saying, where are we with God as a church? We're going to be saying, what word does God have for us that's a challenge this year? We're going to be saying, what is our hope for the church this year? So that's asking God to reveal something, and perhaps it's just something that he's been working with you about what your hopes are for Welton for 2017. Because he gives us those desires of our hearts. We want to just bring some of those out. And then, God, who do you say we are? So that's Welton. God, who do you say that we, Welton, are? So I'm going to be doing those and have that time of reflection where you can write things down. And then on a table, we're going to share some of them, just on the table. It may well be that there's opportunity to share anything that on the table you feel we should all hear. So we're going to do that in a moment, but first I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing Be Thou My Vision before we go into that time of reflection. Lord, we want you to be our vision. And as we come before you this evening to reflect, to listen, to hear from you, to hear, as we heard in that psalm, your instruction for us, your who you are, to realise what you're saying and doing here amongst us. Lord, we ask that you would reveal something to each one of us, that you would speak. Lord, I pray that we'd be open to hearing from you and bold to write things down when we're maybe not sure that it's you. We pray for courage to do that. And Lord, we know that we can do nothing without you and your strength and the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. So we ask you now, Lord, to come amongst us. And we pray that you will make us aware of you. You're already here. We pray that we will become more aware of you and of your presence here with us tonight. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. As we worship you now, Lord, we just want to turn our eyes to you and put our trust in you for this coming year. Amen. So as we have a time of quiet, let's ask God, Lord, where are we with you as a church? And then let's ask him, Lord, in what areas do you want us to grow and be challenged? So just ask him. to show you about any areas that he wants to challenge us with, that we might grow as a church. And the Lord has put his hopes and desires in our heart. So what are your hopes and desires for this church? And finally, Lord, who do you say we are? Lord, speak to us about how you see us as a church. We pray. So now on each table, there's an opportunity to share. And I know that can be difficult. So I just want to remind us, I know I speak for each person here, that we are a loving family of God, aren't we? And so if you've thought something that you haven't written down, or you've written something down that you're not sure about, we're in a good place to share it, aren't we? Because we can love and encourage each other through this opportunity. So on each table, if you just share going through the four things, and then it'd be nice if we could have a bit of feedback from some of the tables. You don't have to, not everyone has to share, but there might be some things that you'd really like to bring so we can all hear them. So we'll do that in about 5 minutes. Okay. Have we got any tables willing to share? First of all, where we are with God as a church. Has anybody got anything to share on that one?
I'll share something because it came completely out of the blue, and that's why I think it's God. Firstly, I say thank you to George, because I think coming together as his people and having worship, albeit in song tonight, is so important to allow the Spirit to move amongst us. And I think it was that enabled the Spirit to talk to me, for me to share with you. And the question was, where are we with God? And I think we're in a state of change still. And the word I got was, when we open wide our windows to look out and the doors to allow the change to happen within. And that's all it was. So we open wide our windows to look out, and the doors to allow the change for things to happen within. And I think that's important for now and perhaps for the future for quite a long time. Can I go on? And I think for growth, we need worship in all its pure forms, not thinking of just about music, but I'm thinking about worship with flags, worship with dancing, worship with the children being here, in all its forms, so that we're ready to come in, to leave behind what we have, the busyness of life, the interruptions in our mind, to come together as a people, to worship God, to allow the Spirit to move in us. Because then, with leaders and teams of God's people. It's going to be amazing what we can do for God and out there where people need Jesus. And I think people in our church presently have got so many gifts. But again, I felt the Spirit saying that there was on a racetrack, whether you're in a car or whether you're just running, you have people to show you. You have a coach, and they show you which track to go on. And you all have your own track because you're all there going forward. And I think the gifts that we have in our church, we're all going to go forward, but we might be one behind the other. And those gifts, because we're all in the same race, are going to be very marked for Welton. Okay.
Thank you very much. Any more for that first point?
And the two words that came to me from the first point were ready and willing.
Okay. Yeah, as a church. Brilliant. Anyone else?
For the first point, we had moving forward and change coming.
This is really encouraging. Anyone else for that one? So then the second point was, is there an area of growth or challenge that you feel God has for us as a church?
I was very taken with what Dave said this morning about taking opportunity. We can speak freely in this country, but do we always take those opportunities? And that really spoke to me this morning, Dave. So I would say an area of challenge for all of us is to take opportunities.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
One thing that struck me thinking about challenge and areas of growth, I felt like the Lord saying that he wanted to increase the amount that we see of him. And I was thinking about this idea of when we look at God, we get this fresh revelation of his love for us. But kind of flowing out of that, it affects how we see one another, how we see the people around us, and we kind of see beyond the things that we already know. And so kind of a sense of God saying, almost like I want to, you know how normally our eyes get worse and you go for an eye test and they get worse and worse. How God almost wants to do the opposite of that so that we see him more clearly and we understand his love for us and it impacts how we see one another in the church.
Thank you. So the next point was about your hopes and desires for us as a church, asking God, knowing that God puts those hopes and desires there, we were asking ourselves, what are our hopes and desires for us as a church? Anybody have anything to share on that one?
Thank you. Part of this evening we've been thinking about the church and getting ready. And one of my hopes and desires is that the church will be ready if the Spirit of God really moves and people start to flood in, we'll be able to cope with them. And I think God's preparing his church in the nation, hopefully. And my hope is that I'll be ready in my part, and I hope that the whole church in Welton will be ready should this happen. Because if you look around the world, things are really going on at the minute, and there could be a big shaking coming. And if it does, there could be people flooding through the doors. And if they do, are we ready? That's my thought. Thank you.
Any more of your hopes and desires? I know, I hope that we reach the lost. That's very much on my heart at the moment, perhaps in new ways. And then, who are we as a church? What are we like? What does God say of us? Did anyone have any thoughts on that one?
You said, Rachel, Lord, who do you say we are? And I put here, you are my children.
Amen. Amen. Okay. If there's...
I had a little picture of the church being like a battery that's got power in it and is intended to be used to have an impact, you know, to give light or whatever, and needs to be recharged from God. But if you take a battery and you connect the terminals together, if it's only interested in itself, then it basically just runs out, dies, it's terminal for the battery, and also it's not getting recharged. So we just need to remember the source of our power and our recharging and recognise that we're there to make an impact on others.
Yes, what are we here for? John, you were sharing a little bit about... Do you want me to share it, or... Sure? About God being our compass, that we need to be... Have I got that right? Do you want to say it? Yeah, our compass, our map, and our GPS. And that fitted in with what came to me this morning when we were praying individually, but I think I'll just share it because it's something similar came tonight when I was thinking about where we are. And it was that I had the picture of being on like a trek and being camped overnight, and in the overnight, you're getting your rest from the previous days, surging forward. You've had something to eat, you're sleeping, and then you're cozy and warm in your sleeping bag. And I just felt it might be also for us as a church that we're at that point where we have so much. God's given us so much. He's given us strength. When I asked him who he thought we were or what we're like, I had the word strong. But what we're using that strength for was the sort of next question in this thought, that we are needing to break camp. We're needing to get all that stuff packed away and go. And I was really encouraged as well tonight to think... to have a sort of picture almost of that we've had a time of people, and it's been said before, we've had a time of people joining us. We've been strengthened by God's work to bring people to us as a body, and I feel we're in a place of strength from which he wants to do great things when we sort of break camp and go forward. But it feels a little bit like we're just at the cusp of that, and we need to seek him, as John clearly said in our group. We need to be saying, just God, what do you think of this? Was that about, you know, with everything, with the little things, God, what do you think of this? And then go. So that's been really encouraging, thank you. I haven't even looked at my phone for the time. Jean-Phi, can I hand over to you? So I apologise. If you want that one.
I'm not sure we've got anything to add to this. I think what is very important is to be aware of what God is doing and saying to all of us. And we had a few monologues this morning from elders, and that's clearly not the whole church, thankfully. And it's good to sort of see that there is a common thread that is coming, because what I had for what it's worth is a time of rediscovery. That means just going further and deeper into what we already know and knew. Okay, it's just how you find something that you've heard about before. Nice, fresh, crisp. Now, freshening up, we started that with this morning, and Anona, you were talking about windows and doors, weren't you? In there, I've got a windows opening for a refreshing draft, so doors open wide for flooding. And I think that's an image that probably should stick with us. Growing trust. And I think it's important to have it down and across. Trust, growing trust horizontally between us, being more trustworthy to others maybe, but simply giving more of our trust to the people who are with us in our Christian journey. Growing trust in the vertical, growing trust in God. And if the horizontal and the vertical are not meeting at any point, it's not quite what it should be, down and across. And that should allow us to move on from milk to more solid foods. Maybe one last thing. This morning we heard of a few examples about what's happening with men. And in all my... and that's the immense... ministry, but I've had a few conversations with Sally, and I know that things are moving among women as well. And it's important to bear in mind that for our younger people, things are moving as well. Younger people, women, men. Now we have a time of open mic. It's 7:20. If you feel that there is something else that needs to be shared, we're going to pause again for a minute. If you feel that there is something else that needs to be heard, shared, put together, there will be time for that. Tony.
Luke 21, verse 19. By standing firm, you will win souls. Thank you, Father, for your promises. They're all yes and amen. And I've heard on the radio recently that we need to get out of our church buildings and get out more, maybe even into the people's living rooms or wherever they are. Okay.
On Tuesday, I went out to the prayer meeting, and I must say I went very unwillingly. It was dark, it was cold, it was damp. I didn't really want to go, and I thought, God, I've been going to prayer meetings for 50 years. Do I really need to go to another one? And I felt God say, yes, praying is important. And I went along, and I was so pleased I did. because it was a really fantastic evening. We were encouraged to share, and I find when people share, it really encourages me. But the things that were said and done that evening, two words became really important to me. One was expectation. When I set off that evening, I had very little expectation. But when I went home, I'd had a lot of expectation. But the other word was excitement. I felt really excited. I went home feeling really good about it, and on Thursday I went to the church members' meeting and came away feeling even more excited. And then last night at Time Out with God, I just felt God saying he loved me and he loves us and he's with us. And that excitement's grown, and I just can't wait for this year to move on.
It is quite something being excited by a members' meeting. That is a miracle. Maybe one point of conclusion. I was sharing with Malcolm just a few minutes ago, and we were talking about rediscovering things that you know. And I've just rediscovered the Gospel of Mark. Okay, I'm not going to go through all of that. I'm just going to go right at the end. The Gospel of Mark finishes very abruptly with the three women, Mary Magdalena and the two others. And there's not even a mention of resurrection. In the most ancient and recorded version of the Gospel of Mark, there is somebody in the tomb, the empty tomb, sort of saying, "Don't be alarmed, he's not there anymore." And I think in the times of solitude, when you feel abandonment, when just like the guys on the road to Emmaus sort of said, we thought that Jesus was going to be the one, and then he dies on the cross, and then nothing. I think in the times of abandonment, where you sort of really think that, okay, there is nothing, in that solitude, in that sort of loneliness, knowing that, oh, actually, that's the start of the story. The Gospel of Mark just finishes just before the resurrection, not even mentioning the resurrection, because it finishes where the story really starts. I don't know. I find that exciting. It's okay. Are we ready to...
Can I just say one thing? I just made some notes earlier on, and I think just from what you said, it's probably appropriate that I say them. And I was reminded this morning that when Jonathan stood up and said... that he was standing down from eldership in May, and this was his last opportunity to say anything. I also realised that this is my last opportunity to say anything because I'm standing down in October this year, after 6 years. And I wasn't involved with this morning because, as many of you know, we've had quite a lot to cope with at home with Angela not being well, and I asked to be left out. I pulled a sickie this morning. So that's the reason I didn't stand up this morning. But I thought it was important both to say thank you, you know, for everybody that's been praying for us over the last 2 months. It's been a very trying time, I would say, and I won't go into all the details, but been lots of things going wrong with Angela's health, and it's just seemed like, you know, one thing after another, and you know, as we perhaps all would, you know, we prayed a lot. We prayed a lot together, and I prayed a lot for her when she was, you know, when she was suffering. And not a lot happened, to be honest. And in fact, sometimes it felt like the more I prayed, the worse it got. And I just got to this morning, actually, in the service this morning, and I was just reminded of that sort of feeling that I've been having over the last month or so, that you get down to pray to about something to God, and you think, is there really much point in doing this, you know? And this morning I was thinking about that in the service this morning, and it came very clearly to me that's an ideal opportunity. This is where the devil gets in. And it's the reason I'm sharing it tonight is because I don't think I'm probably alone in thinking those things, that we pray for things that never seem to happen. You know, we've had lots of things, not just with Angela, in our family. There's things been going on just about in every branch of the family, from clots on the brain with my niece to my daughter-in-law having a gastric ulcer and being rushed into hospital. All these things came one thing after the other just around Christmas time, and it just seemed like it was a huge onslaught. And I was sinking, I think. And I realised this morning that was probably, well, I'm sure it was, that the devil, the evil one, saw an opportunity there to get in to my way of thinking, because what he wants for me to do is to say, actually, no, there's no point in you praying anymore, because it's painfully obvious that it doesn't work. You know, she's getting worse. She's not actually getting worse, but, you know, in those particular times she was. And it reminded me when we sang that that last song, George, in the last verse, heart of my own hearts, whatever befall, be thou my vision, O ruler of all. And it was whatever befall that struck me. And it's, I think we're called certainly to pray, but we're called to pray and to serve in situations, whatever befalls, and very often it is an act of will. And you know, over the last couple of months, I've been praying, and if I'm honest, I was praying the words, you know, if you like, just saying to God, you know, just don't let this happen anymore. Almost not believing that it was going to happen, but I've been trying to do it, and I think in those situations that is what we're called to do. And so as we go on into this new year, we don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of excitement, as we've been hearing about, into this new year, and I'm very excited about what's going to be happening. But I think God is saying that, you know, whatever happens, I'm with you. It doesn't matter what the devil is saying to you. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. I'm here, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to walk through with you, whatever befall.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Philip?
Could I just add to what John has said? My wife, as you know, has not been able to come to church now for 2 years, because physically she's too weak to leave the house virtually. And sometimes it's easy to think, oh, where's God in all this? But you know, over these 2 years, Jesus has been sending one and another of you round to visit us. And what an amazing thing that's been. The love of God has been so obvious and full in our lives that we are so grateful. We just praise the Lord every morning when we have our quiet time for his goodness. Although physically speaking, things are pretty hopeless, but we have a wonderful future, haven't we? And so it's so wonderful to be able to know that through individuals coming to see us, we believe that God sent sent you, and Jesus is exuded, if you like, from those who come to visit, and we just give God the glory.
Praise God. Shall we praise together and close this time? Thank you for coming out, and what are we singing next?